Welcome back to Chasing Dramas. This is the podcast that keeps you up to date on Chinese entertainment news. We are your hosts, Kathy
and Karen.
We are now in May, and to be honest, I am so excited about what's up this month. Well, in particular, one drama.
I personally think that our unwitting decision to focus on two episodes of Ride the Wind really saved us for the hubbub of this month, specifically the drama that you will talk about later today. For today's podcast episode, we will talk about four Chinese dramas that have aired in late April, early May, or will air soon. This podcast is in English with names spoken in Mandarin Chinese. As always, we appreciate all the support from you, the listener, and we will be posting this transcript up onto our website. If you have any thoughts on the dramas that have aired and will air, please feel free to reach out to us on our Instagram as well as our email, KarenandKathy@chasingdramas.com.
Well, before we get on to the drama that I'm excited about, which you probably know what it is, let's first talk about Harbin 1944, or In the Name of the Brother. This drama started airing on April 21st, 2024. It has 40 episodes and actually aired on three different network television stations, as well as iQIYI. It stars Qin Hao as twin brothers Song Zhuowen and Song Zhuowu, the 85 flower Yang Mi. She has second billing and plays antagonist Guan Xue. This drama is set in 1944 in Harbin, a city in northeast China. Railroad police officer Song Zhuowen, featuring Qin Hao, tries to rescue intel from a fellow undercover agent from, you can guess which party, I won't name it, which is, you know, the winning party in China, only to be confronted by Guan Xue, featuring Yang Mi, who mistakes him for her rescuer many years before. In reality, it was Song Zhuowen's older brother, also played by Qin Hao, who saved her. The older brother is actually a twin older brother. You get the picture. Guan Xue brings Song Zhuowen back to the intelligence department of the puppet government where she is currently a director. He uses his new gained access to undermine the regime and retrieve information for his party. I have a review of this drama online, so you can definitely take a look at it on our website. I gave it a 6 out of 10. In the Name of the Brother is what people online are calling Yang Mi's quote-unquote transition into more serious roles out of the old romantic idol ones. She actually has placed a lot of emphasis on this role, saying in multiple interviews that she specifically hired an acting coach to help with her acting and voice enunciation to fit this role better. Not only that, something I do want to emphasize is that she was willing to take second billing for this role behind male co-star Qin Hao, which a lot of her fans are saying is a big step down because she has been top billing for God knows how long. The fact that she wanted or was willing to be second or our fan is an indication of her willingness to focus on the role rather than the title. We all know who Yang Mi is. She is one of the 85 flowers. She has a lot of hits under her name. We've talked about her a lot. Unfortunately, this drama is not getting the positive feedback Yang Mi is hoping for. Since the first day of airing, her character Guan Xue has been compared to a number of previous intelligence spy antagonist characters, most notably Wang Manchun, played by Wang O in 2015's The Disguiser or Wei Zhuangzhe. That drama, maybe not a full-on classic, but has many, many fans because there were many breakout roles in that drama, including Wang O's Wang Manchun. There are so many videos now on Bilibili, on TikTok, on Weibo that basically compare and contrast Guan Xue, played by Yang Mi, and Wang Manchun, played by Wang O. And the conclusion is that O's Wang Manchun is much better than Yang Mi's Guan Xue. A lot of commentary nowadays are saying that Yang Mi has really lost her touch with acting, that she has steps too far out of her comfort zone, that she does not fit the role of a ruthless, cold-hearted spy that is the character of Gwen Xue in this drama. So there's been a lot of negative press around Yang Mi and Gwen Xue at the current moment. In a double whammy, I would say, for Yang Mi, her new film that hit theaters during the May 1 Labor Day holiday season was also pulled from theaters for poor box office performance. This is certainly not the result Yang Mi was hoping for this year, especially so close in relation to the drama and the movie. But maybe it is a wake-up call for her. A lot of the commentary around Yang Mi is that she is a great businesswoman, but she maybe has lost a bit of her touch as an actress. My comments online are that I gave this a 6 out of 10. She doesn't quite stick the landing in terms of, yes, acting as this antagonist, Gwen Xue, of this puppet government propped up in 1944 in China, in Northeast China, actually, or Harbin. I won't go into the politics of it because that's not the point of this podcast. The problem with Yang Mi in this role is that she doesn't feel like she belongs there. While Qin Hao, there's been a lot of commentary about how he didn't act super well in this drama either. Like, you don't think that he's particularly out of place. I also wrote this in my review, is that, like, look, he's playing both Song Zhuowen and Song Zhuowu. So at least he's earning a paycheck playing two characters in this drama. All I'll say is there are some interesting tidbits of history in Northeast China, in Harbin, at this point of history that I didn't really know about. So that made me interested in learning about it. It is a gruesome drama. There are sexual assaults components of this drama. So maybe if you're not interested in seeing something that is too much of a spy thriller, give it a pass. It is something that has a lot of plot holes and cannot be taken too seriously. It's entertaining enough. And if you want to see what Gwen Xue or Yang Mi looks like in this role as an antagonist or a spy, check it out. You can form your own opinions, but feel free to check out my review online to see if this is your cup of tea.
So moving on from 1944 to present day, the next drama that I want to talk about is 春色寄情人, or Will Love in Spring. This is a 21-episode drama that began airing on April 22nd on CCTV 8 and Tencent. I gave this drama a 7.3. I thought that it was a very engaging and beautifully shot drama that tackles rather heavy subjects such as death and disabilities. And overall, the acting from the cast was extremely natural, and I enjoyed the town of Nanping. But there is some components of the matchmaking that I just thought I could do without. Here's a summary. Zhuang Jie, who is portrayed by Zhou Yuhong, is a successful medical devices saleswoman living in Shanghai with her best friend Wang Xixia. Zhuang Jie returns home for a break and encounters her old high school classmate Chen Maidong, who is portrayed by Li Xian. Chen Maidong is the local mortician and is pretty well known in the community, both for his contributions as an adult, but also his storied past. Chen Maidong's grandmother is determined to find her grandson a girlfriend or a partner, and is delighted to see the quote-unquote new girl, Zhuang Jie, show up in town. The grandma is determined to make a pair out of the two, and Zhuang Jie is over here ready to admit that she does find Chen Maidong attractive. The two overcome many hurdles to finally decide whether or not they want to stay in Nanping or move to the big city of Shanghai. I honestly think we're getting more and more dramas that promote going back to one's roots instead of making it big in the big city. I feel like, I don't know, maybe in the early 2000s, 2010s, it was all about going to Beijing, going to Shenzhen, going to Shanghai. Now we're getting a slew of dramas to say, hey, maybe you've had enough of the big city and want to go back to your village or your town. Think about Meet Yourself with Li Xian again and Liu Yifei from last year. Personally, I think that this might have some political push to have folks return back and bolster a local economy. But overall, I just do like the visuals of local towns rather than just Shanghai. There's currently a joke online going around to say that Li Xian has definitely found his niche. Li Xian has Yang Zi in the city for his rom-com drama. He has Liu Yifei in the village, aka for Meet Yourself. And now he has Zhou Yutong in a small town with this drama, Will Love in Spring. He is the perfect partner for each location, and people online are saying, I can distinguish between each locale, so I'm okay with him with different couples. Just pick your flavor of Li Xian. The show did relatively well ratings-wise, and word of mouth has been pretty positive. I'm glad Zhou Yutong is getting cast in more leading roles as she continues to develop her acting. I thought she did a pretty good job, especially depicting her insecurities as someone who's disabled, even though she also outwardly tries to put a very positive front. Zhou Yutong, I hope, continues to grow or get more recognition, but as of right now, she isn't a ratings pull. But what's interesting, though, is her dramas at least are able to air mainly on television. Side note, the most memeable person in the drama was actually Mama Liao, who was portrayed by Liu Lin. We all know her as the main wife from the story of Ming Lan. I was scrolling through Chinese Douyin, and it was just all, I don't know. Again, maybe Douyin knows a little bit too much about the characters I do like, but it was all about Mama Liao and all of her many sayings in the drama, which I either keeled over laughing or agreed with. There were some that I didn't agree with, but you know, just with her acting, I was like, you know what? I will accept what you're saying. Don't necessarily agree with it, but I will accept you as an interesting mom. The next drama that I want to talk about is a pretty unique one. It is a mini-series that just began airing, and it is Turning Heads. The drama is called 我的阿勒泰, or To the Wonder. It's only an 8-episode mini-series that began airing on May 7th on CCTV1 and iQIYI. The drama itself is based off of a few short stories from author Li Juan. The drama unfolds with a young, ethnically Han woman, Li Wenxiu, who grew up in the Altai Prefecture, way up in the northern tip of Xinjiang province, bordering Mongolia, Russia, and Kazakhstan. She is forced to return home after her dreams of becoming a writer in the big city are dashed. She now must make a living with her mother, Zhang Fengxia, who despite being ethnically Han, has since adapted to local culture and lives a nomadic life while selling goods in her yurt to make a living. Li Wenxiu also meets horse trainer and herder, who is of Kazakh ethnicity, Ba Tai, and gradually begins to appreciate the beauty that is Altai. The drama stars Ma Yili with top billing as Zhang Fengxia. We last saw Ma Yili as the Shanghai restaurateur in Blossom Shanghai, but she is now a sunbaked and toughened up woman living in Xinjiang. People online have commented how they don't even praise her acting anymore because they just accept that Ma Yili is going to be good at every role she's in. And honestly, in the clips that I've seen, she is hilarious. I was like, who is this woman? Wait, is that Ma Yili? She looks so different than Ling Zi in Blossom Shanghai. Then there is Zhou Yiran, a newcomer who plays Li Wenxiu. She's the daughter of Ma Yili's character and dreams to become a writer. It's really funny because in the first episode, she returns home dejected but can't actually find her mother's yurt because her mother is constantly on the move. So she's like, where are you, mom? And lastly, there's Yu Shi, who portrays Ba Tai. The character of Ba Tai is a very handsome, ethnically Kazakh horse trainer who is forced to return home in the summer to help with the family's livestock. This drama was submitted in this year's Cannes series competition for Best Series. This is the first Chinese language drama to ever be selected to compete for the awards, which is why this drama has been turning a lot of heads. The drama actually filmed on location in Altai and features many ethnic Kazakh actors. Interestingly, the director chose Yu Shi to portray Ba Tai, who is ethnically Han. The actor spent months learning how to speak Kazakh for the drama and does indeed actually speak Kazakh for his character in the drama itself. There's been quite a lot of buzz for this drama, and I, for one, will definitely be watching.
Last but not least for today's podcast episode is Joy of Life 2, or 庆余年 Season 2. I am so excited for this drama. The first Joy of Life, or 庆余年, was a bona fide smash hit, like major smash hit, in 2019.
It's been 5 years. Oh my goodness.
5 freaking years, people. It ended on a cliffhanger, and we have been waiting patiently ever since. I do think this is probably a good time to announce that after we wrap up our season discussion or series discussion of The Longest Day in Chang'an, that we will be talking about Joy of Life. There's not as much history in it, but we will be talking about book lore, story lore, and there's also a lot of modern day aspects of the drama interspersed throughout Season 1 and Season 2 that I'm seeing that may make sense to a Chinese viewer, but will not resonate with foreign audiences. We will aim to rectify that.
Karen will definitely also bring in all the pop culture aspects of this, because I swear she has been following the filming of this drama since 2019. Meanwhile, I have been over here reading the book, and I have a lot of thoughts about the book.
Anyways, when is this drama airing and what is it about? My first point is, if you haven't seen season one of Joy of Life, 庆余年, go watch it. It is an amazing drama. It is on YouTube with English subtitles, so it should be very easily accessible. This drama, season two, will air on CCTV 8 and Tencent on May 16th. That is a pretty big deal for this drama to be airing on CCTV 8 because it not only means that the Chinese government approves of this drama, it also means that there is a major platform for the Chinese populace to watch this show at home and online. Now, how excited are people for this drama? Online, there are over 15 million people who have clicked on Yuyue, or waiting to watch, for this show. I have no idea how much of that is spam, but regardless, over 15 million people have personally clicked on the button to say, I am waiting to watch this show, and it, I believe, is the highest waiting to watch number or metric I've seen of any drama. Makes sense. People have been waiting for this for 5 years, so there's a lot of excitement. Currently, CCTV 8 is airing a condensed version of Joy of Life 1 in anticipation of the new season, and the main cast are doing live streams and marketing tours in major cities in China, including Chongqing, Tianjin, Shanghai, and Beijing. I don't think there's been that much excitement for a second season of a drama in the last few years, or at least in recent memory. In terms of the fact that CCTV 8 is airing Joy of Life 1 was a clear indication that Joy of Life 2 was going to be brought forth before people even knew that it was announced. This airing time of May 16th was announced just yesterday. There had been rumors floating around, and we knew that it was coming forward because Li Qin, Guo Qinlin, and Zhang Ruoyun, the main cast, had been marketing this in Chongqing, but we only got the final date, or the official date, yesterday, May 8th. As for the plot, for those of you who don't know, Joy of Life is based off of a book, which Kathy actually hates for the ending. It is a million chapters long. We also listened to this while she was listening to it on audiobook during COVID. So I've heard snippets, but it's a million chapters long. In any case, 庆余年, or Joy of Life, follows Fan Xian, played by Zhang Ruoyun, as he navigates his life in the fictional Qing Kingdom. Except, he in the drama has memories of modern day. He wakes up in a baby's body and grows up as Fan Xian, but he remembers everything as an adult in the present day. Fan Xian grows up in Danzhou, but then heads to the capital of the Qing Kingdom. While he's there, he runs into his Ji Tui Gu Niang, which directly translates into his chicken leg girl, whom he instantly falls in love with. 鸡腿姑娘, her name is actually Lin Wan Er, is played by Li Qin. Outside of his love story, he is caught up in the mystery of his mother, whom is seemingly connected with many powers within the Qing kingdom, including the Qing emperor himself, as well as Chen Pingping, the leader of the intelligence agency in the Qing kingdom. Fan Xian uses his wit and intelligence and a little bit of sarcasm and joking nature to ensure his footing in the capital when many powers want him dead. At the end of season one, though, Fan Xian had headed off to the northern Qi kingdom on a diplomatic mission that was harrowing, to say the least. He was on his way home only for the drama to end on a cliffhanger where he was stabbed and bleeding out to death. So he has been out in the cold, lying there, bleeding for the last 5 years, waiting for all of us to figure out what was going to happen next. Clearly, he's not dead. He's very much alive, so we will see exactly how he managed to survive. There are many beats that follow the story or the book, but given where we are now, even from the faking the death, we are now deviating from the book and into new territory for the plot. In interviews and previews, we see that Fan Xian has changed from season one to season two from being a chess piece to becoming the chess player. There will be continued interplay between the modern conscious versus his weird historical fictional time setting and the vast array of characters he will interact with. Speaking of the cast, this cast is huge and impressive. Almost all of the original cast members have returned. Zhang Ruoyun will continue to play Fan Xian. Li Qin returns as Lin Wan Er. Guo Qilin plays Fan Sizhe. Song Yi will continue to play Fan Ruoruo. The cast, or the list, goes on. There are a few shifts from the cast or changes from season one, season two, the most notable being Xiao Zhan is not returning as Yan Bingyun, which I think is fun because that was actually quite controversial for him and he probably didn't want to upstage anyone in this drama. We will do an in-depth podcast episode about all of the cast changes about season two, where we dive into the shifts and our views. But at least from what we have seen from previews and what interviews say, the flavor of season one remains, but with a much bigger budget and a cast. I absolutely cannot wait for Qing Yunyan. Funnily enough, it seems like most networks know they cannot compete with Joy of Life, and nothing else major is currently slated to compete with it. There are rumors of what could be airing on iQIYI, for example. But I mean, if I were iQIYI, I'd totally just wait until after Qing Yunyan season two finishes airing to bring anything interesting forward, because why compete and why lose? If 15 million people are slated or ready to watch this drama, that's only a small slice of the population. Many, many people are actually very interested in this show. Like me, I will be chasing it all through May. Hopefully you will too. If you haven't seen season one, I highly, highly recommend doing so before May 16th so that you actually didn't have to wait 5 years for the new season. From what we've heard in interviews, season three is where everything will be wrapped up. Fingers crossed we will not be waiting another 5 years, but at least I think it is a miracle we are even able to get season two with the primary cast members. That is it for today's podcast episode. Thank you so much for listening. Let us know what you're interested in watching. I mean, if you want to do a live stream watch party with us for Qing Yunyan, let me know, because I'm going to figure out how we can do it. Maybe I'll just like be typing up thoughts or whatever somewhere about how excited I am for Joy of Life. Thank you so much for listening. We will catch you all in the next podcast episode.